Okay, we're rolling.
Hey, Bob.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. I figured out the meaning of life.
I got it.
I got it straight. So you ready?
And tape's rolling.
I figured this out years ago, but I keep it to myself. I don't want anyone else to know.
Okay, so tell me if this is true.
Okay.
I went and saw Kami-sama. This is the Japanese.
Okay, this is going to be the meaning of life. All right.
It's funny because Kami-sama means God.
Oh my God!
And we're at a churchyard.
Yes,
we're trespassing on a churchyard.
Yes, trespassing is the key there. I saw two things tonight. I saw this Norwegian singer that I spoke about, Uni Lovelied. She sang beautifully, and her electronics guy said he sampled the sounds of Northern Lights. So she's singing, and he's playing these wild, weird sounds. And then I saw Kami-sama.
Okay, who is Kami-sama?
All right, so Kami-sama was the band that we talked about that did the song "I Am Hitler." They came all the way from Japan, which is the only reason both Steven and I. I saw Steven there before
said,
the show started.
Presumably with a drum,
and they did. And I gave you a big hug because it was so great to bond right
there. I knew.
You
I was
guys want
you
me
that.
To give
no,
you
no,
the
no, no, no,
for...
no. I'm talking about the meaning of life. That Stephen okay, has nothing to do with the meaning of life.
I feel like hugging Bob Boylan is a big part of the meaning of my life.
So when I think about Kami-sama and I think about this Norwegian singer, I figured that what has to happen in the universe is that every possible thing has to happen. All the possibilities of things must happen. And Kami-sama doing the Hitler song and the woman singing with the Northern Lights is just one of the many possibilities of things that can happen. And then once all of the things are all done and everybody...
Then we can all die.
And then the world will collapse into a little ball and it'll start all over again. That's the other part of the... revelation I had.
So as bands continue to exhaust all remaining sound,
right,
the sun will burn out.
They're using up what little resources we have left as humanity.
Exactly. Thank you.
So what you're saying is that South by Southwest is killing us all. I mean,
well,
I have to be honest. That's not really where I thought you were going with this. But let's get one other thing out here, and that is Carrie's not with us right now.
Right.
So
yeah.
People may be wondering. Carrie, for the second year in a row, has booked a 6:30 a.m. flight, which is just a few hours from now, so she couldn't be here with
and
us
And she booked
tonight.
This flight at 6:30 a.m. Saturday, so she's missing the last day of the festival,
that's
which
true.
I'm
she's
going to call the best day of the festival,
yes.
Because it's the one that has not
I think
yet.
Tomorrow night we should just say, no matter what, that was the best day of the festival.
I'm not going to see any shows tomorrow. I'm gonna just going to slink out of my hotel room over here at 3 or 4 in the morning and say, best day ever.
And that'll be it.
Yeah.
That'll just be the whole podcast.
This started off as I thought it would be the best day ever at South by Southwest because I got to do the video shoot with Admiral Radley with Jason Lytle and Early Mart, and it really was just as wonderful as I hoped it would be. Bob couldn't
and
be there.
I couldn't be there, but there was an unbiased opinion, Stephen, that actually I went to Kevin Wade, our engineer, a dear engineer, who's worked his bottom off.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
engineer.
We were moving some gear today, getting them packed up.
The reason this podcast doesn't sound very good is because Kevin Wade has nothing to do
yes,
with it.
Exactly.
So I said to Kevin, because he's a quiet guy, and I said, what's it like? And he said the best thing he did was the Admiral Radley.
Yeah, they are on to something there.
This is Granddaddy.
Granddaddy meets Early Mard. It's just a no-brainer of a collaboration for these two bands, and the songs were just as beautiful and just as good as I hoped it would be, and I can't wait to hear the whole album. And then I ran into Bob a little later at the full show. The drummer, Aaron Birch, didn't do the video
Granddaddy,
didn't do the video shoot with them, but they thought it'd be too much for an acoustic set. We saw them at the full show with the full band a little bit later on in the day, and he really brought a lot of energy to it, so it's going to be a great record. Very exciting.
And if you hear somebody barge in near the end of that set and ruin it, it was me.
Oh, that's right. Steven did come in during the last song.
I didn't see you.
Yes, yeah. He came in during the last song. And then Freelance Whales came in to the... We shot all these at the Historic Driscoll Hotel.
And we're posting them
on And where? We're posting them on the blog. And
the blog being
all
npr.org.
Songs. Yes, slash blog slash
And we'll put them on the All Songs Considered Live Concert podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Yeah. So you can get them in the, you can download a copy of these in the, in our concerts podcast. And Freelance Whales, they were amazing too. I think they're going to have a great year. They've written some really incredible songs. They're tight as a band, incredible harmonies. They're going to be really good.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw them yesterday and really liked them.
I liked them a lot more this time than the Black Cat show. I thought part of it was sound, and I think, you know, these bands can mature rapidly.
Yeah, they're growing quickly, and I think that just in the few months or couple months since you last saw them, I think that they're really growing into these songs and finding their voice.
And I did a video shoot with Vado in Mexico, the band I was hot on, that did this song in Spain. They came with a two drummers, guitar. One song they did banjo on. The other was a melodica, and they were just superb. They were really good. I haven't touched that video yet, but I'm going to soon.
Even I shot a video today.
You did.
And when they take all of the NPR employees and rank them in order of ability to shoot a video, I'm probably somewhere around like the parking attendant guys.
Steven's one of those guys who, like, if he can't wear watches because the hands just start spinning wildly. He can't be around electronic equipment.
I zap like out. Very disruptive magnetic force.
Yes.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, sorry about the podcast.
Might be a little windy,
so
by the
do?
Way.
We're oh, so I started the day. Perfect way to start the day. I met up with Sharon Van Etten at the historic Driscoll Hotel. Conveniently found one of the least telegenic spots in the historic Driscoll Hotel.
Really? It's a gorgeous. You can't find it. No, you can't.
I might as well have just put her in a broom closet.
But you know what? It wouldn't have mattered if you had put her in a broom closet, because with that voice.
Yeah, it was really gorgeous. And to start the day, like, holding a microphone, you know, 3 feet from the face of that woman with that voice coming out of it.
That's great. I can't wait to see that.
I was sorry I missed it because I was shooting Admiral Radley.
Okay. You can't wait to hear that.
All right, thank you. All right, very good.
Video-wise, it's a clown show.
All right.
I felt like my day began with the cooing beauty of Sharon Van Etten and ended with a woman screaming, "I am Hitler." And I felt like that was sort of my day in a nutshell.
That's funny, because you say, speaking of clown shows, when I went to see Admiral Radley later on in the day, I didn't want Jason to think that I was, you know, stalking him. So I disguised myself as a clown in the audience, and I thought, I just sat out there and I thought, there's no way anyone can tell it's me in this clown outfit. And it wasn't creepy, I'm sure, to him at all, seeing the clown out there in the audience.
I actually mentioned to him the line about you getting his face tattooed on your face, and he seemed genuinely uncomfortable.
Yeah, and then he said, I'm getting the something out of here, and he gathered his gear. I think he was ready to leave by then.
He's done.
Bless his little
heart.
So
what other good, let's talk about music.
I saw a couple of sort of bands making triumphant returns. I saw Superchunk for the first time in about 15 years. And
plane overhead, yeah, there's a garbage truck. I can't tell.
Some giant vehicle is looming over us.
You can usually tell NPR's recordings because of the engineering. It's just the fine quality.
This is definitely NPR's finest audio effort. Superchunk was amazing, and I saw them, like I said, probably about 15 years ago, and they were one of my favorite bands. And they played the Village Voice party today. And they just tore it up. It was absolutely fantastic. They just ripped through all their, you know, a bunch of their best-known songs. And they were followed by the Double X, who we've talked about. And I think part of it was the effect of following a very high-energy band. But I lapsed into a coma.
Oh, I like the XX so much.
All right, I'll counter with, I saw the XX, it was the last show I saw tonight, and I genuinely really loved it. There is something very sleepy about it, though.
Without
and,
a doubt.
I think it's
and,
the,
and
fact, it was, the fact that people are actually falling asleep while they play.
No, I love the songs. It was great music. They had a great sound. But to me, it was a perfect show to see around 1 o'clock this morning, which is when you guys are seeing that, I saw them, and it was in a church, and it was it was beautiful. I really, really enjoyed it.
Good.
But yeah, definitely a completely different energy.
I saw the Double X's doppelgangers with Andrew W.K. in his band.
Oh my.
I saw your tweet, and I wondered if you had had gone to see him.
You got in?
Yeah, I did. I follow his Twitter feed because that's how I roll.
That's how you stalk him.
That's how I stalk Andrew WK when I'm not having him do Tiny Desk concerts.
Right.
And he was saying, oh, I'm going to be playing, I don't know, some club. It's all gone. I'm a bombed out shell at this point.
Sorry.
And so I said, you know what? I think I'm going to be walking by there. Walked by there, walked right in just as it was about to start. And he, you know, played all the, like a bunch of songs from I Get Wet, which is sort of the Andrew WK classic.
Yeah.
And, you know, in his old band, like all these like metal guys who were in his band when they were touring around I Get Wet. And it was just a fist-pumping, life-affirming, you know. I was like... When you can get me to erupt into a cheer when somebody basically is telling you to celebrate life.
You did it.
They have really accomplished something there.
And 8 hours later, I'm just completely flattened and destroyed.
Do you guys know the band Yacht at all?
Yeah.
So I saw them. I like, every time I hear their songs, I like them.
Yeah.
And they were a bundle of fun.
They were on my short list of shows I was going to try to get to. So
they were, you know, all decked out, a guy in a white suit and the woman singer was all decked out in black, and they reminded me of, in a funny way, of like a more disco-y Talking Heads.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of irony and a lot of fun, a lot of improv in what they do with the audience and stuff. I really enjoyed that.
I made this huge hike all the way out to the far west end of downtown. I didn't even know that part of the town existed, but found a club where School of Seven Bells were playing, and because I'd never seen them, I wanted to just see what they were like live. Something's happened to them. They've turned into rock stars. They were playing in this airport hangar-sized building that was filled with people.
Really? That's where I saw the Double X and Superchunk. Oh,
yeah, and the lead guitarist guy, he had this sort of Flock of Seagulls thing going on with his hair, they were rock stars, and I was not at all what I was expecting from the band. I thought it'd still be a smaller show, some cool sounds. It was a great show. I was just really, really surprised. And then from that, I went to Active Child. Were you at that one, too?
I was at that show. I didn't
see that. So I didn't stay very long. I did, you know, we've been talking about drum machines and people playing with laptops.
I had the exact same reaction.
And I thought, I came in, it was two guys standing there with a laptop, and I thought, man...
And this is the guy with the Philadelphia Boys Choir when he was a kid that we talked about.
Yeah,
we talked
about. I wanted a show, and it wasn't a show.
I think I tweeted from that one that I just wanted to buy them a drummer.
Yeah,
it was two guys, and I also found the song we played on All Songs Considered. I thought was absolutely fantastic live.
Yeah,
and
I love
just
that too.
Loved it, and I was thrilled. And the songs around it, I just wasn't feeling. And so much of it boiled down to they needed a drummer.
Well,
I've definitely come away from this festival with, like, rekindled my intense love of drumming.
That's great. And we went to see, I went to see Sun Lux, and I tweeted, and I said, I wonder if Robin's going to be there.
Sorry.
I stopped in
already
too.
There.
Hey, I had to go and check on my boys to make sure they were all
there.
That's
right. You saw Jason Lytle, you saw Sun Lux, and you saw
the Antlers after that. Yeah. And I just was checking in just to make sure everyone was okay. And
Peter's doing well.
Yeah, Peter
Ryan's
was doing great.
Right.
Yeah,
all of our favorite bands still exist.
So
Carrie actually tweeted from Shearwater saying, why is I Just Like Steven not at Shearwater? And it was because I was trying not to be what I keep doing.
Anyway, Sun Lux did have a drummer. I didn't know his records actually did or not.
No.
It really made it. He was great.
He was an incredible drummer, and I don't know if you could see him from where you were standing.
Well, I stood in two different places. One first just watched the drummer, and then in the middle of the room.
And then you moved to avoid Robin.
he was doing some things, just the style, the way he played, that I'd never seen a drummer do before. And they're probably common techniques, but he was holding, like in one hand, he was holding two sticks in one hand and kind of flicking them back and forth. Rapidly against sandwich the cymbal in between the two sticks, but then rattle the sticks against the cymbal that way rapidly, and created this really weird sound that you would have thought maybe was a synth or something. But he was
to try to sound less like a drummer.
He was a really, really good drummer.
Yeah,
though.
He was.
He was.
And Sunlux made beautiful sounds.
Yeah.
Really, really good. That was good. I saw Talk Normal, a band that Carrie was real hot on.
Really,
yeah.
The band had one very small 25-watt refrigerator red light bulb that lit the entire stage. So I could never see them, and they were just noise on a good level for about 8 or 10 minutes. And then it got real quiet, and the guitar, it's guitars and drums, two women, and the guitarist started doing this boom, boom, boom. And then this drummer starts to say, I don't know if you know this song, in every dream home, in every dream home, a heartache. And it's, she goes into this Roxy Music song about this inflatable doll. It's off one of her first records. And it's this long-winded narrative song. And it's like, this is just the most bizarre cover of, first of all, it's the weirdest song to pick. It's called In Every Dream Home, a Heartache. And then just went into a big bash of noise again. And then that's when I left.
What do you think the odds are of Brian Ferry being here? Because I saw someone tonight I could have sworn was. I walked right past him. I said, that was Brian Ferry. I thought that couldn't have been Brian Ferry. Well, whoever it was must get stopped all the time and say, you must be Brian Ferry.
I'd shake his hand.
At the same time, and maybe I mentioned this on a podcast before, when I saw These United States, and the lead singer is this lanky guy with like a long beard, and he had like six just perfect doppelgangers in the audience. There are certain there are certain types of particularly of dudes.
The beard phenomenon has really
has not waned. I've seen fewer acrylic baseball caps.
Yeah.
It should be noted, Carrie Brownstein not being here would, I'm sure, want us to say that Quasi was amazing.
I wanted to get to Quasi, but I didn't. Yeah. You did?
Quasi. I missed it. I'm saying on her behalf.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know what she thought of Quasi.
I really love the new record.
She would like you to know that Quasi is amazing.
Did you see The Givers?
I did. Yeah. I liked The Givers.
Oh, good. I missed them.
I tried to
They're a New Orleans band.
They had this effect where for a while at least the female singer they set up a second drum kit sort of in the front on the front of the stage, and she was singing and playing drums quite well, sort of in time with their other drummer, and that effect I found really bracing and wonderful. I wanted to hear more of them.
Oh, that's great.
They were uneven, but the songs I liked, I really liked.
Yeah.
Highlight for me, though, was the cupcake van finally arrived, and I'd been parading up and down 6th Street this entire time we've been here looking for the cupcake van, yes, pounding my chest, wondering where the cupcake van is, and it finally showed up tonight.
Fist lifted to heaven.
Yes.
Well, I got the meaning of life, you got the cupcake van, and Steven.
Steven is just a bombed out, just shattered husk of his former self.
Well, sweet dreams tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do this one more time?
You bet.
Yeah.
We're all going to be here, right?
Yeah, I'll be here.
I will be here.
All right, great.
Good night, everybody.
And remember that all concerts from the week are at the All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast. The videos are, you know, there's lots. I've shot a lot of little flash videos, a lot of bands I saw that I tweeted about, put those up on the blog. The All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast will have some of the videos that you shot and that I shot and Steven shot.
And even Steven.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.